Father God, I thank you for gathering us here today. Father God, I'm praying for anybody that's out sick right now. Father God, just pray that you lay your healing hands on them and you lift them up. Father God, that they would feel your presence. That they would, their minds would be focused on you. I pray our minds would be focused on you today, Father God. And I pray that you would speak to us individually. That you would bless Pastor with the word today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Baller. Appreciate that. So we're in Acts 21, Season 2, Episode 6. This byline is the entire congregation. Acts 21, 1 through 4 in the Amplified. When we had torn ourselves away, now recall Paul knows he's on his farewell tour. He's going to see people and he's like, I'm not going to see you again. It's my last Sunday. I'm out. Like, I'm not going to see you anymore. It says, when we had torn ourselves away from them, we set sail. We ran a straight course and come to Kos. You know what's amazing? The author Luke now is a seafaring man. Notice his terms change from the beginning of this story. They're on these trips. Now he's like, well, you know, we ran a straight course. He's learning stuff. Along our life, isn't that part of the process? We should be learning how to relate where we're at and not stay the same. We don't compromise the gospel, but you got to learn how to relate where you're at. So when you travel, you can relate to the people you travel with. We should educate ourselves along the way. I'm not anti-books. Just if you've not put yourself through the loving filter of the gospel ever before, please do that before you read the Lost at Sea scrolls of alabaster broken jars from 1842. You know, I'm just saying. We ran a straight course and came to Kos, and on the next day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. And after finding a ship crossing over to Phoenicia, we went on. And we went on board and set sail. And we came in sight of Cyprus, leaving it on the port side. He knows stuff now. We sailed on. I want to pause just real quick. I'm slow rolling, Chantel. We must keep on our course. You know, sometimes it's hard to sail on. There's so many songs I wanted to break into from the 70s. It was just too hard for me. I just backed off. You don't even know. It was hard. Tension was everywhere. But we got to keep our course, even if it's hard, right? And Paul knew, like, where he's going. Do you remember what the Holy Spirit showed Paul? Hey, go do this, and it's going to be full of jail and suffering. Yeah, sail on. Sail on. It's not like any of the 70 songs I'm familiar with. There's no jail and suffering involved. Sail, you know, come on. I'm sailing away. Come on, you know. Sail on. Are you determined to sail on? Like, no matter what the course ahead looks like, are you ready to sail on? We died to ourselves. We're not the captain of our own ship. So you're either on the ship sailing on or you're off the ship. I'm going to sail on. We sailed on to Syria and put in at Tyre. And there the ship was to unload her cargo. You know, it's a little nice sometimes when you get a break from sailing on. Even during God's work. You can be doing God's work. They're doing God's work. And it's like, whew. We get to put off the ship for a minute. We don't stop sailing off for a second. Yeah, I'm going to Pine Top for a second. Why? I'm not sailing on right now. I'm driving up, not sailing on. You know, or you know, you're traveling someplace and we're in Samoa and everything's sad. And your friend broke his leg. And the food isn't going great. And the air conditioning's not wonderful. And then you look like these little people lost in the rain. You know, and someone invites you in for dinner and you realize it's not Pawasami. Is this on the tape? Apostle, I love you. Just I don't like Pawasami. Okay, and it's like, whoa, no, we made some burgers. You're like, burgers. Okay. You know, and sometimes it's nice when you pull over for a minute. After looking up the disciples in Tyre, we stayed with them for 7 days. Like, whew. 7 days with disciples. But here's the problem, too. And they kept telling Paul through the Holy Spirit not to set foot in Jerusalem. Wait, that's controversial. Wait, Paul knew he had to go to Jerusalem by the Holy Spirit. And they're saying the Holy Spirit's like saying, hey, there's trouble. You shouldn't go. Relax. They seen exactly what Paul saw. Remember what Paul saw? Jail and suffering. He said, look, jail and suffering is coming for you. Like, we don't want, who wants jail and suffering for your friend? Never. Even if your friend chooses it, like they chose their own jail and suffering, eat it. No, that's not how you treat your friend. Right? But we don't want to see our friends suffer in any season. But here's a mega hard truth. This is the hardest one that may be hard to swallow this morning. If God asked Paul to endure something, please don't encourage him to sleep near the open window. Last week, if God asked him to do something, as God said, hey, I called you to do this. It's going to be hard. We can't go. Don't go do it. Why? Because it's going to be suffering and hard. You're going to be, you know, if you break up with that girl, she's going to be suffering hard. Yeah, God said do it. If you take that job, God said do it. If I don't take that job, if God said do it, and it's going to be hard, and you say, don't do it. We love you. We saw the Holy Spirit showed us it's going to be hard. Yeah, he showed me too. I don't think, you know, don't encourage sleeping near the open window. If God told Paul to endure jail and suffering, don't break his heart by encouraging him to disobey what God said when it's too hard to go forward. Should I reverse that back? If God told Paul to endure jail and suffering, don't break his heart by encouraging him to disobey God just because it looks too hard going forward. Isn't that a happy thought? Okay, today, I'm not confident we're going to finish this whole chapter. Yeah. You know, Anna's like, go ahead, Pastor. I got my blanket. Just keep rolling. I don't care. Thank you, Anna. I might. If everybody else is grumpy, I'm just going to look at Anna. She's good. She'll keep me happy over there. But don't I have some minutes banked? I got us out a couple weeks early in the row. I mean, is that how it works in preaching world? Can I bank minutes? I got us out 12 minutes early. I'm going to pack it until midnight like Paul. Wait till dawn, you know. We're snowed in. Everything's canceled, you know. Never mind. And as you know, all good series always leave off on a cliffhanger now and then, don't they? That makes you want to go, what's next? But it's like midnight, but I gotta know. Lois Lane out of Clark Kent. We gotta know. Cliffhangers. Back to easy reading. The New Living may be easy reading, but it's not always easy hearing. A good shepherd is going to ask us to obey God no matter what the cost. So let's go into Acts 21, 5 through 6. When we returned to the ship at the end of the week, the entire congregation. Oh, I like the word, but I like the meaning. When we returned to the ship at the end of the week, the entire congregation. So I am the church, and together we make up a church. I am the church. We make up the church. We're part of the church. Matrix. Crazy. It's good to be part of a congregation. It's where you get known and proven, and where sometimes you get friends that grow in your life, and where they are in God, they pull you up and you knock down, you pull them up and they're knocked down. You're like a barrel of monkeys, making a mess in the barrel, but trying to pull each other up to Jesus. Hopefully, you know, that's not a good definition for a church probably, but, you know, we're a barrel of monkeys trying to pull ourselves up to Jesus. Well, sometimes, you know, sometimes it's good to be part of congregation. Says the entire congregation, including women and children. God loves his girls. God loves his kids. I love them worshiping up front. They all clap at a very interesting pace, but I love it. William's like, I see sometimes you're like, I got to zone out and go to a different place because everyone is clapping. Like, he's like, just look at them. I know, Will. We just close our eyes. So he's like, yeah, Pastor, it's truth. The entire congregation left the city. Like, the whole congregation got up and left the city. Jody, you're thinking about Pine Top again. I can see it. He's zoning. Randy, get him. The entire congregation left the city and came down to the shore with us. and there we, say the entire congregation, there we knelt and prayed. The entire congregation knelt and prayed. Man, doesn't that sound beautiful? I think there's a worship night coming up. It's a good opportunity. The entire congregation left the city, left the city behind them. And there we knelt and prayed and said farewell to our friends. Praying as a congregation is powerful. It really is. Where two or more gather, he said, I'm in your midst. Imagine if you had more than two. Sometimes it's just powerful. Praying as a congregation is necessary. Say, I'm the church. Yeah. It says, then we went aboard and they returned home. Parting isn't easy. Some temperaments have it harder than others. Parting isn't easy. Yeah, I hear from one back in the room. Leaving people who love you is never easy. Anyone ever like, I love them so much, but I can't wait to be gone and not see them ever. Then you didn't really love them. No, I don't think that's the sentiment. I never saw a greeting card with that in it. Love you so much, I never see you again. Bye. They probably sell like hotcakes, though, wouldn't they? The vengeance cards. I don't know what you call them. You know, leaving people who love you is never easy. Especially when leaving for jail and suffering. I have a picture of what our faces look like when we think about jail and suffering. If the media works. It's very high tech this week, yeah. That's the inner feeling of jail and suffering right there. It's three emojis, not just one. It's like jail and suffering is a three emoji right there. If you get that from somebody, they're like, oh my gosh. Andrew sent me that. He's having jail and suffering. Oh, I will pray right now. He sent me that three faces. Don't be blowing my phone up with these three fake faces. I don't want none of that. Only real prayer requests reply. Who desires another hard truth during Shepherd Talk this morning? Anna, Thea, Pastor Ed, everybody else is like, you're going to say it anyway, so I'm not raising my hand. Sometimes we, all of us, messy people, exaggerate our hard. Sometimes we do it because we want boo-boo sympathy. I've got a boo. I need a boo. I got a boo-boo. It's so hard. Touch my boo-boo. I get my boo-boo. It's the worst boo-boo ever. I'll never have a boo-boo worse than this boo-boo. Oh, the world should look at the boo-boo. I'll put on Facebook boo-boo, boo-boo. Sometimes we just want sympathy. Right? It's tough. It's tough. We often know people who like to play stuff up. You ever had raised children? You had those children that, like, there was, like, a shriek from the bedroom, you know, something happened. And then after a while, a shriek from the bedroom was like, never know, could be a spider again. I thought they fell from the ceiling out of their head like Eutychus. But no, it was a tiny, tiny spider. I don't even know how they saw it, to be honest with you. I'm not sure it's a spider, but if I don't kill that resin piece, they're going to keep screaming. You ever have those kind of kids? Somebody has. She was that kid. Messy people often exaggerate their heart. We whine a bit, right? Like our lives are being terribly persecuted. Do you see that? I'm a Walmart greeter and they didn't say hi back to me. Excuse me, the persecution I get. Sometimes I get. Or we whine like, my life's a jail. You have no idea. My life's a jail. We feel it like it's constant. Terrible suffering. Anybody ever feel? Anybody ever over exaggerate? Like, you know, come on, husband, you smack your finger in the door and it hurt real bad, but you could have been like, but you wanted your wife to come over and ice it for you. Just saying, thank you. It's my boo-boo thumb, you know. But often, do you think we lack perspective when compared to other things? We go through hard stuff. I'm not saying we don't go through hard stuff. There's people I know going through some hard stuff. And often when people bring me like little tiny hard stuff, I go, I wish I could tell you so-and-so's hard stuff. You'd be like, that's a tiny spider. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we lack perspective. And often when we see other people lacking perspective, I put up some other faces. These are the faces that we make when we see other people lacking perspective. Like, bro, you know, you hear yourself right now? Bro, like your thumbnail's fine. You're moving your finger. You don't deserve another Ben and Jerry's. Come on. Roll in your eyes. That's why you smacked your thumb. Did anyone see him smack his thumb? Shh. Boo-boo needs Ben and Jerry's. Acts of the Apostles 21, 7 through 9. The next stop after leaving the disciples in Tyre was Ptolemais, where we were greeted, the brothers and sisters, and stayed for one day. The next day, say, we went on. We went on to Caesarea and stayed at the home of Philip the Evangelist, one of the seven men who had been chosen to distribute food. This is one of the original OG's appointments. One of the disciples, when the disciples got together and say, look, the church is going, I can't do all this. So we need some people to help. I got people need prayer. The prayer lines, like I get home and it's crazy, sun up to sundown. They said, hey, find guys with great character that know him. Find guys with great character that know Jesus and his spirit, and then give them some jobs to do. And they're not going to be glamorous. Church cleaning, food distribution, coffee pot stuff. You know, this is one of the original. This was Philip. He's got a different title, doesn't he now? Philip the Evangelist. You can grow into things if you're faithful with your little. If you're called to something and you're faithful with your little, you can grow into things. Philip the Evangelist had four unmarried daughters who had the gift of prophecy. Boom. Okay, in general, an evangelist is a person who brings Jesus to where people are at somehow. Or he brings people to where Jesus is at somehow. I don't want to shock you, but there are evangelists amongst you. You don't get the title. It's just what you do. You know, Jeff brings people to Jesus. Jasmine, little evangelist, you know. Pastor Jody, little evangelist. Miley, little evangelist, you know what I mean? Prophetic glimpse gifts are like glimpses at times into the future. I've seen authentic prophetic gifts in my life. And it was a big thing with the Holy Spirit and the church. I'm just going to be honest from where I'm coming from. And it's been a large impact on my life at times. Some dear friends of mine in ministry, that's one of their main functions of Flow. They're not like me at all. They're a little quirky, but I know they've heard Jesus before in my life. So when they share that, it's been proven. I go, okay, I'll pay attention. Some folks have had visions here. Just a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Justin, God gave him something. I remember someone, one of their first services here. Man, I love, they knew the protocol of God. They just touched my elbow. They said, Pastor, you're going to talk to your service here. I felt like God said this. Like, man, it reminds me of the time that someone else had something they felt was God in the congregation, and they just went and told someone else in the church and said they had that thing, and that person never came back to church. Because they didn't know to say, hey, before you share that with me, can we get Pastor over here? Not that I'm all-seeing, all-knowing, I have nothing. But I'm not going to approve someone who calls himself Pastor Evangelist so-and-so if I've not seen that in their life. And I don't want them speaking into your life because I'm trying to watch out for wolves. And sometimes the enemy looks just like God because he put sheepskin on. And, you know, so that's just part of the shepherding job, you know. And so I appreciate the prophetic gifts. I know they're real. Like that person that shared with me, man, I took it because I felt the Holy Spirit. I went, pay attention to that. All right, I got you. Pay attention to that. I'm on it. Thank you, Lord. I can recognize you. Pastor Justin had a great one in worship the other day. I've been utilized that way at times in my life. Like I said, in Samoa, that's kind of how they want me to minister every time, even though I don't feel like that's what God said to me to do. Right? But on the flip side, I've seen prophetic gifts often overemphasized. I've seen it overdramatized. And I'm sure when I was young, it was that way too. And people getting all excited. Can you feel their spirit? But sadly, I've seen real gifts prostituted. Turned it into some business venture or way to promote themselves above the Lord somehow. And I'm not saying everyone that has those kind of gifts and it's demonstrative. I'm not saying that about the whole body of Christ. You can't lump the whole body into anything. But my point, I've seen it misused. Right? So that's what I like to be cautious about. And I've seen the imitation of light from darkness, too. Ever see that? Mm-hmm. Someone used some kind of spooky, holy, spiritual or something, got insight to manipulate somebody else into doing something they want them to do. Well, they just miss God. No, that's manipulative. That's not God at all. You're being intentional with that. That's no good. Say no bueno. No bueno. No. Acts of the Apostles 21, 10 through 12. Boy, I'm actually doing great with time. Yay for me, gold star. Anna, I'm just kidding. thank you. Several days later, a man named Agabus, who was also had the gift of prophecy, arrived from Judea. And he came over and took off Paul's belt. Hold up. Imagine being in a meeting. Oh, I'd like to pick on a visitor right now. But no, just because you're like, someone like, they may punch you right in the face. Exactly, that's my point. If I'm walking with people I don't know and come up and dude just comes after my belt, I'm like, what are you doing, Agabus? Touching a man's belt? I don't know you. Derek? Derek's like, Pastor, I'm with you. No touchy the belt. But he came over and took Paul's belt. Snapped it right off him. He came over and took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands with it. Wow, that's quite a greeting. This guy better be hearing the Holy Spirit. I mean, this is the original 11. Like, you better be hearing Jesus. Why? They know him better than anybody else in this room. Agabus. But Agabus saw it. He saw what Paul had been sharing. As soon as he saw Paul, he's like, man, I see this picture. I know in 1 Corinthians 13:9 it says we prophesy in part. We only see part. God doesn't give us 100%. And some people take this part and they build a whole puzzle around it. Just share your part. But right here, Agabus saw the part. He came over and took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands with it. And then he said, the Holy Spirit declares, so shall, gonna happen. So shall the owner of this belt be bound by the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem and turned over to the Gentiles. Hearing straight from heaven, some sad, hard news. I don't know about you, but that's the worst news I get to hear from heaven, is sad, hard ones. Man, some of the saddest, hardest news is when Justin Buell went to be with Jesus. So some of the saddest, hardest news for me. I still wrestle a bit. You know? I heard it from heaven. I knew when it didn't heal him in the moment. I said, oh, God, prepare for this. I don't want to hear it. But sad, hard news is sad, hard news, no matter how you slice it, people, when it comes from heaven, right? It's hard news. He said, this is going to happen. The guy that owns his belt, this is going to happen, or worse. When we heard this, we and the local believers, when we heard what Agabus just said, proven Agabus just said that, we all begged Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. Uh-oh. This may seem hard, but if God said it, then please stop begging. No more begging. If God said it, and it was hard, then no more begging. That's not what he needs. When someone's got to go through a hard thing, you can't beg them to not go through it or they're not going to get healthy or whole. You're like, they can't skip the grieving process. You can't skip it. You can delay it for a century. You can skip, I just skipped my childhood. Fast forward, you can't do that. Some of y'all know, I'm like, yeah, don't look at me. Why? Because we're jacked up. Happens. You can't fast forward stuff. Sometimes you got to go through hard stuff. And when God said for Paul to go through this hard thing, and he told him, and Agabus said, this is going to happen, they begged him not to. Man, don't beg your boy to go sleeping in the window. Not when God said, I got hard stuff for you to do. That's not what they need. They need, you got this. We can do this, baby. I'll be right there. I'll walk you right up to whatever cross you got to be with. I'll be your guy. Yeah. I see hard stuff, and it's going to suck, but I'm not going to leave your side during hard stuff. Unless the Lord said leave his side, then I'm going to do what he says. But my intention is to walk you right through hard stuff, not beg you not to go through it because God said he wanted you to. And we know that's an easy word from a shepherd. Even Bob wants to punch me. He never does. Acts 21:12. When we heard this, we and the local believers all begged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. But he said, Paul's reply is, why all this weeping? That sounds like Apostle John. If you girls that were small, does that not you think Apostle John? He broke his leg. It was obvious. From you don't know, we're on this mission trip. He's a big, heavy Samoan guy, and we're getting ready to just open a base, and I'm so excited, and we're on the second day there, and the girls got to see some stuff, but they're going to go to work soon. I had a plan. Their work was about to start. Apostle John, we're going in to get some kind of food snack, and he steps on a slick, slippery thing. Boom, he goes down. And you can see his leg almost sticking out of the skin. And I never seen him cry. I seen him hit his face real hard times and never cried a tear. He's rolling around and he's saying things. In Samoan, I'm pretty sure they're holy things, but he was upset. And you can see it went stick out of the skin. And I said, Apostle, it's broken. He said, pull it. Why are you weeping? The girl's like, why are you weeping? That's how I felt. Pull it. No, man, that's not the medical procedure for this. Trust me, I've been around. Paul's like that. Why are you weeping? He said, why all this weeping? You're breaking my heart. Please don't do that. It's weakening me, and I need to be strong to make my sacrifice. I need to be strong to make the sacrifice God asked me to do. So when you say, hey, don't go to AA tonight. Why? Because I need you home. That weakens my sacrifice. When God says, hey, turn off the TV because you struggle at night, then oh, honey. Or, well, what's your thing? When we should be strengthening each other, go, no, man. I know you. This is a sacrifice. And Paul's like saying, baby, I want you to know something about me. I love you as the church. But God told me to go through this. And if you're going to keep begging me off of it, it's going to keep me weak. You know what I'm talking about? Been there, right? Paul said, I'm ready. I am ready. Ready to not only be jailed at Jerusalem, but even to die for the sake of the Lord Jesus. Yeah, true. It is true. He was ready, bro. When it was clear that we couldn't persuade him anymore, here's an important thing, we gave up and said, the Lord's will be done. We gave up and finally said, doesn't matter how we feel, what we want, what's sad. Doesn't matter what's ugly, what's terrible, what's bad. Doesn't matter. What matters is the Lord's will be done. This is his church. We should always want his will done. Even if it's hard. Even if it's hard to hear. Acts of the Apostles 21:15-17. Well, after this, we packed our things and we left for Jerusalem. Some believers from Caesarea accompanied us, and they took us to the home of Mnason, a man originally from Cyprus, and one of the early believers. Well, the first guys got saved when Paul was on the journey. And when we arrived, the brothers and sisters in Jerusalem welcomed us warmly. After a long journey of any kind, before another long journey begins, a warm welcome goes a long way. I always hope this at New Season Christian Fellowship for all visitors. If you hate the service, I still hope you're warmly welcomed. Seriously. I just like people storm out like, hate the service, don't like what you had to say, don't like worship, like anything. But were you welcome warmly? Did you get a cookie? I hope so. You know. Acts 21:18-19. The next day, Paul went with us to meet with James. The James? Like, that's crazy. To meet with James and all the elders of the Jerusalem church were present. All the OGs were there, Pastor Sharon. After greeting them, Paul gave a detailed account of the things God had accomplished among the Gentiles through his ministry. He's like, hey, God's doing this, Gentiles. And he just downloaded them, right? Because they didn't have Facebook. He couldn't post it. He had to travel and get beat up, jail, prison, death, sadness, travel, ocean, travel. Whew, warm welcome, travel. There's a headline summary for you. It's like, yeah, Pastor, you could have done that a lot sooner. We would have caught up. After greeting them, Paul gave a detailed account of what God had accomplished. Acts 21:20-22. After hearing this, they praised God. Wow, God's reaching the whole world, not just the Jewish nation anymore. He said he was going to pour his spirit on all people, but we're concentrated on spreading amongst the Jewish community. That's our calling from God. And now we're hearing what? The Gentiles are getting healed and set free and coming to Jesus and preaching the gospel. Boom. Awesome. They're like, yeah, they just started, woo, they're hooting. They're like the music blasting on a Saturday morning at New Season when the church is being cleaned. They're getting praise on. If you don't know, you don't know. We are. If you know, you know. And then they said, we know, dear brother, how many thousands of Jews have also believed. And they followed the law of Moses very seriously. But the Jewish believers here in Jerusalem have been told that. Uh-oh. Maybe they do have Facebook. They have been told that you are teaching all the Jews who live among the Gentiles to turn their backs on the law of Moses. They've heard that. Say, heard that. Song popped in my head. Heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend. Paul, you've been messing around. Paul's like, I ain't doing that. I ain't doing that. They heard that you teach them not to circumcise their children or to follow other Jewish customs. What should we do? They will certainly hear that you've come. It's like, man, there's all sorts of rumors about you. They're spreading them, saying things like some of the religious members in our community are saying things. What? Yeah, you can't wear bracelets on stage. T-shirts are not allowed. Here's what we want you to do. Oh, they got a plan. Acts 21, 23 through 25. It's like, hey, brother, it'd make our life a little easier. There's some places I've had to make my friends' life a little easier. I had to learn how to wrap a colorful, very colorful and flowery. That's not usually my pattern skill. It's not my first choice. I go look at the closet. I want something really colorful and flowery. But I had to wear a really colorful, flowery skirt, lava. My first meeting with these chiefs, I'm like, man, I got to wear a skirt, man. A flowery skirt. And you got something like, that guy's got a dope black one over there. Well, he's the chief. Well, who's his skirt maker? It's not a skirt. It's a lava. All right. It would really help this meeting if you would wear that. Okay. But I'm wearing my boxers. Why? Because this thing is tied very loosely. Here's what I want you to do. That's what he said, Paul, to avoid some trouble. We have four men here who have completed their vow, a Nazirite vow of purity. There's a process to it. We won't get into the details. If you want to see the details, Pastor Justin would love to give you the details. Sign up for an NSBI class. See him over there when his wife's not pregnant and home about ready to deliver a baby. Other than that, he'd love to answer the Nazirite vows of purity at some point in time. He said, sure. He loves that. Go with them, those guys who are completing their vows, to the temple and join them in the purification ceremony. Pay for them to have their heads ritually shaved. Then everyone will know that the rumors are false and that you yourself observe Jewish laws. Okay. Paul didn't fuss at that. So I can do that. That's not for Jesus. I can do that. Shave my head. Practically bald anyways. You know? As for the Gentile believers, that's the rest of all of us. Even if you're like 1%, 0.018% Hebrew, weren't raised in the temple, you're Gentile. They said the Gentile believers should do what we already told them. Do what we already told them. What God, he said, we already told them what to do. I forgot. Tell them again. Right? What do you got to do? Keep it simple. Just break it down simple. Why? Because there's so many Jewish rules and laws and things, and they'll pick it up as they go, as God speaks to them. But let's keep it simple, right? Everybody, I love it simple. So he said, remember Paul? You've been telling them just keep it simple? He said, yeah, I've been doing it. They should do what we already told them in this letter. Remember, they should abstain from eating food offered to idols. No more honor of other gods in any way. He's pretty firm about it. No false gods, no handmade gods, no gods of any kind, no gods, no little g's, none. Abstain from eating food offered to idols. Abstain from consuming blood and the meat of strangled animals. Don't drink blood, it's unhealthy. Pagan customs. So it's a big old nod to your old vampire life. Stop it. Can't do it. Well, my grandfather drank blood. He's a don't matter. Stop it. abstain from consuming blood and the meat of strangled animals, and abstain from sexual immorality. And like a shepherd, I'll read it three times. Abstain from sexual immorality. Abstain from sexual immorality. No gods, no blood. Do what he says in his word. Discover what that word means. Look up the Old Testament sexual laws. Look up the New Testament. And they're about the same. There's some variance, but they're pretty much at the core of the same. God's the same. You know, he's telling them this is important. Did you break it down for him, Paul? Paul's like, I told him. I got beat up a lot. Acts 21, 26 through 29. So Paul went to the temple the next day with the other men. They had already started the purification ritual. So he publicly announced the date when their vows would be ended and sacrifice would be offered for each of them. The 7 days were almost ended when some Jews from the province of Asia, remember those guys from before? They showed up again. The Jews from the province of Asia saw Paul in the temple and they roused a mob against him. Yeah, pausing, you're right, young man. People often will let themselves be roused up by assumptions. Some people. Mm-hmm. A little assumption on your Facebook feed. 80% of the things that we hear and see on our feeds are based on assumption. It's fact, because it's all like, no, it's they're mining you, and some of it may be loosely baked in fact, and some is fact, but some isn't fact. This morning, I was fantasy basketball outraged. Guy popped up from my fantasy team. They had a picture of him in a different jersey, which has definitely affected my stats. And it said, big news, star traded. Wiggins goes to Golden State. And I went, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I went to ESPN, and that wasn't on there one lick of it. Didn't happen. But you know how many times we repost that? Go, that happened. Uh-huh. We assume a lot of things. I'm not saying some things aren't true. I'm 100%. But some things are just not. We assume all the time. And it creates a terrible problem in our life. But sometimes people are doing stuff that makes you want to assume. And if it's one of those big three, you got to stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Whew. Rousing a mob over not absolute truth. Isn't it shocking how unintelligent they were back then? They grabbed him, yelling, men of Israel, help us. This is the man who preaches against our people. Not true. He's in the purification process. This isn't anything fun. It's fasting and shaving your head and paying for other dudes to get their head shaved. It's not a party. You know? He's preaching against our people everywhere, and he tells everybody to disobey. It's not true. He speaks against the temple and even defiles this holy place by bringing in the Gentiles. What's that based on, bro? Well, for earlier that day, they had seen him in the city. Okay. In the city with Tropius, a Gentile from Ephesus, and there they say assumed. And they assume Paul had taken him to the temple. To assume is dangerous. It hurts. It creates mess, and it creates division. Get the facts, Jack. Acts 21, 30-32. Boy, I might be banking minutes, Hondro. I don't know. I love this is the New Living. This is not in the Amplified, and you'll get it right off the first bat. You ready? The whole city was rocked. I love that. The whole city was rocked. Rocked by these accusations. And a great riot followed. Some people just love to riot. Well, there's no oil at Subway. Riot! Bro, there's not been oil at Subway for a long time. But move. Riot anyways. No, rocked by these accusations, and they started a great riot. Paul was grabbed and dragged out of the temple. Paul was grabbed and dragged out of the temple, and immediately the gates were closed behind him. As they were trying to kill him, this sad journey has already begun. Agabus was right. As they were trying to kill him, As they're trying to kill him, word reached the commander of the Roman regiment that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. He immediately called out to his soldiers and the officers, and they ran down amongst the crowd. When the mob saw the commander and the troops coming, they stopped beating Paul. It's like the police showing up. What? How about this? You're cruising on your way to Walmart. You're late to pick up your order, and you're not going 25. You're going 36. And you see the police parked in our parking lot like they like the gun people. Immediately, you stop beating Paul. You took off the gas. Cruising. You should know, how you doing, officer? Cruising in here. Picking up prescription for my mom. She's very sick. And those Twinkies are for her, too. You know, when the mob saw the commander and troops coming, they stopped beating Paul. Makes sense. Acts 21:33 through 36. Then the commander arrested him and ordered him bound with two chains. Arrest the guy that's getting pounded. Okay. He asked the crowd who was he asked the crowd who he was and what he'd done. And some shouted one thing and some another. Crowd don't know. They're just making up stuff. Just want to be angry for angry's sake. Since he couldn't find out the truth in all the uproar and the confusion, he ordered Paul to be taken to the fortress. As Paul reached the stairs, the mob grew so violent, the soldiers had to lift him to their shoulders to protect him. And the crowd followed behind him, shouting, "Kill him! Kill him!" Here's the crazy part. Some of these people claim to be God's people, and they're calling for murder. They came from a place the gospel was preached, and Jesus was fine as long as you can't, don't do the Gentiles. It was all about the Gentiles coming to Jesus. What about when Paul shaved his head and paid us $20? And there was an assumption anyways, but God was doing that and bringing people in because Jesus said it was going to happen, and they're following through exactly what Jesus said. And Jesus said, you're going to get pounded for it. A little persecution's coming your way. All of it's happening just like Jesus said. And these people are shouting, kill him, kill him. Didn't they just do that at the cross? Sometimes we don't learn our lesson. Some lessons are so hard. Acts 21:37 through 40. As Paul was about to be taken inside, he said to the commander, "May I have a word with you?" You know what's crazy about this? Paul pulled out some Greek. He didn't speak in Hebrew. He pulled out some Greek. He learned some Greek during his trip. Remember, he just spent a whole bunch of time cooking in Greece, man. Remember? He learned some Greek. Here's some food for thought. I'm going to roll here a small bit, Chantel. Here's some food for thought. Maybe it's always good to learn the language of the people you're sent to. Maybe it's always good to learn the language of the people you're sent to. As Americans, we like to go to other places and expect them to speak our language. It's so disrespectful. Maybe it's always good to learn the language of the people you're sent to. You know, one, it shows you care. It shows you care. And it shows you're not there to change their culture. It's not about your culture versus their culture. It's what's God is God. What's not needs to go away. That's it. Not like, no, you can't wear a skirt. Why? Because it's a lava. Okay, I'm not changing that culture. I'm not selling jeans. I'm not trying to change. I'm not here to be a jean salesman. Maybe some cotton. I mean, I don't know, but anyways. It shows you care, and it shows you're not changing your culture. And it also shows this. If you're going to reach people in any different way than you, you're going to have to learn their language. Language is not limited to speech and alphabet. If you're called to the hood, you got to learn some hood language. Don't go up there with King James. Not going to happen. Right. You can't go to Scottsdale, upper crust Scottsdale, and talk to them like I just rolled out a hood language. Why? Because, I gotta learn the language of the people I'm being called to. I can't speak to the young like I speak to those that are seniors. I can't speak to islanders like I speak to Romanians. You can't speak to addicts like you do adversaries, though we treat them the same sometimes. It's a different language. Plus, you never know when that language skill is going to come in handy. I learned phrases from around the world. I learned thank you. It's the first one I learned. It's polite. You know, there's different levels of that. I can go through a bunch of them. I learned a bunch of thank yous. I don't want to show off with that, but it's a polite phrase, and I want to make sure when I go to that culture, I know I appreciate whatever they bring me. And that's the first word I learn is thank you. Gracias. Faftai talilava. Teshkuler. Merci. It's important. Why? Because I want you to know it means something to me. I'm not here to change you. I'm here to tell you the good news. Just about Jesus. So it's good to learn a little bit of the language of the people that you're sent to. Paul said, may I have a word with you? And then the commander says, do you know Greek? The commander was surprised. The commander's like, aren't you the Egyptian? Yeah, aren't you the Egyptian? The one who led a rebellion some time ago and took 4,000 members of the assassins into the desert? It's a good thing he knew Greek right there. He's like, no. I'm not that guy. I'm definitely not that guy. He says, I'm a Jew. Ooh, and here's a bomb. And a citizen of Tarsus in Sicily, which is an important city. What's that mean? I'm a Roman, bro. It's going to be something later. It's going to matter. He says, please let me talk to these people. The commander agreed. Like, yeah, sure. Yes. Go ahead. So Paul, on the stairs, motioned to the people to be quiet. I bet that went well. Hey, quiet down, you frenzy, screaming, murderous mob. Shh. Shh. But check this out. Paul just waved his hand in a quieting motion. And soon a deep silence enveloped the crowd. That's the Holy Spirit can do that. Screaming for murder. So let me talk to him. Man, ever been feel those moments in the Holy Spirit? You just knew he was in the room. And you knew you'd better just be quiet. Soon a deep silence enveloped the crowd. Man, sometimes our lives are so noisy, we need to let ourselves be enveloped by deep silence. So why can't I hear what God's saying? Why can't I do the hard thing? How much time do you spend in deep silence to let him speak to you in the most quiet place of your life with worship shut out, with reading shut out, with everything shut out? And you say, I'm going to sit in deep silence. My head's going wild. I'm going to sit here until I can get to deep silence. Why? Because it's going to matter. Because I want to hear clearly what he's going to have to say. The crowd's trying to murder him. They're screaming. He's lifted up onto the shoulders. They just got beaten him. I can't imagine what he looks like. Probably all funky, you know. He motions for him to be quiet. Soon a deep silence enveloped the crowd. And he addressed them in their own language, Aramaic. Cliffhanger. Let's pray. Father, address us this week in our own language. Address us in our own language this week, Father. Cause us to be those that can address other people in their language with only the good news, not anything that's not authentic your spirit, whether it's word, prophecy, feelings, emotions. Father, we be authentically sure doing what we're supposed to do. Help us be that. But Lord, I pray you to address us in our own language this week. Still us for a moment. And you don't just want to speak hard things, but Lord, we want your will no matter what it is. Speak whatever you want to speak. Lord, we don't want to manipulate you. We want to hear what you have to say, Father. I want your hugs as much as I want your heels. Train us up in the way we should go this year, Lord God, that we won't depart from it. We still ourselves, Lord, before you, and we ask you to speak because we are the church. And the church said, amen. Man, love somebody before they leave. Make them feel warm and welcome.